The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Well, how long can you stand there on the sidelines while people are dying and do nothing? That's kind of the question, isn't it? That's the question that we're facing, and nobody wants a world war. We know that. But do you really think if we got more involved with the Ukrainian crisis that Putin would escalate like that? I mean, the guy knows that ultimately he'll lose. He'll lose literally everything if that were to happen. Do you really think the guy would, quote-unquote, hit the big red button, right? Launch a tactical nuke? Which would then take us back to the Cold War days and the policy of mutually assured destruction. You send one, we send everything. And then they send everything. And then we're all dead, right? Now we have a nuclear winter, yada, yada, yada. Don't worry about the environment anymore, people. All you global warming folks, you don't need to worry about that anymore because we're all dead, right? Because that's what would happen. Russia has an enormous nuclear stockpile. Nothing like they used to have, but they still have a major one. So do we just sit on the sidelines? So President Zelensky from Ukraine, remember the former actor and comedian, you can't make this stuff up, spoke today by video to a good chunk of Congress. And he was very direct. And so here, I'm going to read to you some of the things that he said, and we'll consider that. And then I'll talk about, in particular, Rick Scott, and his response, Senator Rick Scott, and he's like, okay, it's time to ramp up what we're doing here. And what's it going to take? Is there anything that could happen that would make you cross the line to say, yeah, I think we need to get involved? And that's not necessarily putting troops on the ground. But you might have F-18s and F-22s flying the skies there in Ukraine and just saying to Russia, you can't do anything in the sky. Because you hear this, they just bombed a theater. I saw that earlier in Mariupol that came out from the BBC where they literally just bombed a theater in Mariupol where a bunch of people were holed up. And what do you do about that? They're estimating 1,000 to 1,200 people inside there. And, okay, so it's, 5,000, 10,000 Ukrainians dead. And, we'll pray for you guys and send you some stuff. Is there a number by which, and if it turns into a genocide, a Rwandan genocide type situation, and he just keeps killing indiscriminately, 500,000? Still nothing? Not going to do anything? 600,000? I mean, we lost 400,000 Americans in World War II. So this was Zelensky. Earlier today, pleading with the United States to do more by implementing a no-fly zone, providing additional aircraft and air defense systems, etc. And these are direct quotes. Okay, however, now it is true in the darkest time for our country, for the whole Europe, I call on you to do more, he said. He also issued a direct message to President Biden. I'm addressing the President Biden, he said. You, the leader of your nation, I wish you to be the leader of the world. Gosh, I don't. He added, being the leader of the world means being the leader of peace. Ladies and gentlemen, friends, Americans, in your great history, you have pages that would allow you to understand Ukrainians understand us right now. Remember, he's got very broken English. When we need you right now, he said. Remember Pearl Harbor, terrible morning of December 7th, 1941, when your sky was black from the planes attacking you. Just remember it. Zelensky went on to invoke September 11th, calling it a terrible day when independent territories were turned into battlefields and when innocent people were attacked from the air. Yes, just like no one else expected, you could not stop it. Our country experienced the same every day, he said. Right now, at this moment, every night for 3 weeks now, various Ukrainian cities, Odessa and Kakutani, have been so many predominantly of Mariupol. Zelensky said Russia has turned the Ukrainian sky into a source of death for thousands of people, saying there are missiles and countless bombs. Quote, they use drones to kill us with precision, he said. This is a terror that Europe has not seen for 80 years, and we are asking for a reply, for an answer from this terror from the whole world. Is this a lot to ask for, to create a no-fly zone over Ukraine to save people? Is this too much to ask? A humanitarian no-fly zone, something that Ukraine, that Russia would not be able to terrorize our free cities, he pleaded. If this is too much to ask, we offer an alternative. Zelensky said, calling for air, powerful, strong air systems to protect our people, our freedom, and our land. You know that they exist and you have them, but they are on Earth. Remember, he's got very broken English here. He said, not in Ukraine, not in the Ukrainian sky. They do not defend our people. Invoking Martin Luther King Jr., he said, I have a dream. These words are known to each of you. Today, I can say I have a need. I need to protect our sky. I need your decision, your help, which means exactly the same. The same you feel when you hear the words, I have a dream. That was smart. He's just pleading, basically. And it's saying, listen, if you're not going to enforce a no-fly zone, then give us what we need to kind of do that ourselves. And so earlier today, this came out that Biden approves more anti-aircraft systems, drones for Ukraine, warns of a long and difficult battle. News U.S. for package for Ukraine includes 800 Stinger anti-aircraft systems, 2,000 Javelin missiles. Those are all anti-tank busters. And an additional $800 million. Right, so the new package includes 800 Stinger anti-aircraft systems, 2,000 Javelins, 1,000 light anti-armor weapons, and 6,000 AT-4 anti-armor systems, 100 unmanned drones, 100 grenade launchers, 5,000 rifles, 1,000 pistols, 400 machine guns. That sounds like petty to me. And 400 shotguns. We could send 10 times that much of that stuff. They just have it laying around. Or let's just go get it back from Afghanistan. More than 20 million rounds of small arms ammunition and grenade launchers and mortar rounds, 25,000 sets of body armor and 25,000 helmets. Yet we only send 400 machine guns. Does that make any sense to anybody? I think you arm them to the teeth, but you don't pull a trigger and we don't have American jets flying anywhere. Should we do this deal with Poland? Poland's going to give them MiG-29s and then we replace Poland's Air Force fleet. They were going to do that last week, and then that got poo-pooed on the last second. And then you got Senator Rick Scott, who was obviously moved by Zelensky's address. Quote, America has the ability to stop this, he said. If we don't, then we have a president that's clearly heartless. We've got to help them make sure that Russia can't continue to just indiscriminately just kill these little kids, Scott said. He said Biden should give Zelensky either all the planes and weapons he desires or a no-fly zone. Quote, give them all the equipment they need, which is planes, anti-aircraft defense systems, everything they need, or do a no-fly zone. One or the other. The White House has the authority to do this. If Biden doesn't do it, he's heartless, and every day he doesn't do it, there's more little kids that are dying. So off and on, on and on and on to go. Right, Josh in the other room says, abortion. Right, that's a different subject. Don't be such a troublemaker in there. The only person that can make a decision whether we use nuclear weapons is Putin, Scott said. He's the only person. We can't let him dictate what we're going to do. So, is there anything that could happen that would say, okay, now it's time. Now we got to go in. Or do we just keep sending him money and more stuff? What do you think? 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. We'll be right back. Oh, angels, to sign off on the increased aid. Is that what you mean? Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, thestevenobleshow.com. You can get the podcast wherever you get podcasts these days, Spotify, Apple, Google. We're on all of those. iHeartRadio, we're all of those. So if you missed the show, none of us live by a live schedule anymore anyway. You watch what you want to watch when you want to watch it. Same thing with podcasts, whatever. So you can do this at your own leisurely schedule, and that's fine. So you can get the podcast. Or you can join us on Facebook Live, and the Facebook Live, the video version of the show, which is occurring right now, stays on Facebook, the Steve Noble Show page. So you can get that there. Also, YouTube, we're there as well. They kick us off every once in a while. But I haven't talked about COVID in a couple of weeks. Apparently, COVID's no longer an issue, and Fauci must be at his beach house in the Hamptons or something. Or maybe in the federal witness protection program. I don't know. So those are the different ways that you can engage. But talking about Ukraine today, is there anything going on that you would say, okay, now we need to get going? How involved should we be? 10,000 people dead, 50,000 people dead, 100,000 people dead, and we do nothing? Now, they're escalating because we're sending a ton of stuff over there now. A ton of stuff. Some of it's ridiculously small. But a lot of it, I'm like, okay, that's good. That's serious. And if Putin wanted to say America's at war with me, he could say that already. Are we sending all this stuff over there? $800 million worth of stuff. Is that a proxy war? We're fighting Russia. We're just doing it with Ukrainians pulling the trigger. He could already say that. So, is there anything that would change your mind? Where do you stand on this? Do we stay out no matter what? unless he hits Putin, unless he hits NATO. And if he hits NATO, we have to go in. So a treaty is more important to you than, let's say he kills 150,000 Ukrainians and just keeps going. Is there anything that would get you over the line there? Or should we just stay out? 866-348-7884. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to John, who's calling in. John, thanks for calling. Go right ahead.
Good afternoon. I'm not sure that there is an answer short of divine intervention.
Yeah.
The members of the Club of Rome and those people who say we need a lot fewer people on this earth said that they would be completely willing to have a third world war in order to accomplish that goal. That may be what we're on the verge of. I hope not. But I can see when nothing seems to deter Putin, I think we're on the verge of one.
Yeah, and so is there something specifically, John, that would have to happen over there that you would say, okay, it's time for the U.S. military to take an active role? Is there anything?
That's really hard
isn't it?
Put your finger on. Really hard. I'm concerned because we look so weak. That
right.
I think as long as we show weakness, he'll just keep going. But I don't think it'll take too much to push us into a third world war either.
Yeah, I don't either. John, thanks for calling. I appreciate your insights. If you want to jump in on that, what do you think about this? Is there a line in the sand somewhere for you personally? Should we stay out no matter what? Doesn't matter what the body bag count is. Should we go in? 866-348-7884. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. There is an aspect to that is arrogant. Like, why is everybody looking at – what are you looking at me for? What are you looking at America for? Since when are we the policemen of the world? We've had this conversation ad nauseum for the last 150 years, really. Since when did we become the policemen of the world? That certainly wasn't what the Founding Fathers wanted. They wouldn't want us dealing with any of this stuff. We'll buy and we'll sell, we'll trade, we'll make money with you guys, but that's it. We're not, that's the old world over there. This is what you do. You go to war. Over here across the Atlantic, this is the new world. We don't play that game anymore. Of course, that changed pretty rapidly. And America's been involved in a whole lot of war actions ever since. But what do you do about this? Do you ever go in? Do you stay out? And if you, to John's point, if you show weakness and China goes in and just takes Taiwan, you got Iran just fired a bunch of missiles at the U.S. base in Erbil. And the consulate just fired up like 30 missiles. Thank God nobody got hurt. But they just fired off. Iran did. You think that was a test? North Korea just tested an intercontinental ballistic missile or something that's getting close to that. So they're testing. And if America does nothing with Putin, are you just inviting more trouble? So The mathematics here and trying to figure out what to do and where's the line in the sand, so to speak, that's very difficult. And maybe it gives shines a little light on that little passage of scripture about praying for those in authority over us. Maybe that's because they really need it, right? 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. Hey, Josh, my buddy Bill Mann on Facebook Live is questioning whether that's the Ukrainian flag on the screen. That's his question. It's the right colors. Of course, we zoomed in there, Bill, so we're just trying to show the blue and the yellow. But we'll double check just to make sure. And I don't teach about anything in Ukrainian except now. But we're not showing the whole flag. We're just showing the colors. Let's go to my buddy Clay, who's calling in to share. Clay, thanks for calling. Go right ahead.
Hey, brother. Top of the warm-hearted Wednesday to you, and it's nice to be able to talk to you. You know, I just sit here or standing or however you care to phrase it, and I'm thinking about this. And I served 4 years in the military, and I go back and I think about things, you know, and, you know, when I got sent on a TDY mission, you know, overseas or something like that, we were just doing it to know that where we stood with stuff. And then, of course, you know, when you're on a, you know, you're trying to figure out just to hear, you know, we're helping. But here's another word that can be shared or thrown out there. We're enabling because we're helping them do what is needed. And that, and now you have this guy who is, getting close to being on his hands and knees and begging the United States of America to come and help. Okay. We, as a wonderful United States of America country, do help those that are in need, but do we need to do it all the time?
Right.
I mean, I am in agreement with the guy before. Is this a ploy to draw us in to say if we go in, we're going to be in World War III? You know, I remember when we were going through all the stuff we were going through, you know, short of 2 years ago, and there was, I've heard so many people talking about the chance of a civil war happening because of all the stuff that was going on.
Right.
When you're doing something, when you're seeing something is the Ukraine our ally? I don't know that. I mean, I know several countries because of where I would go, you know, temporary duty, you know, overseas, there are allies. Who's really our ally? Are we going to be able to, they're going to come alongside us, not go ahead, not go behind, but are they going to come alongside of us and help us out and doing what needs to be done? You know, this is stuff that really needs to be taken into consideration and into our hearts, because I know everybody will like to do what's right. And being able to help them, however it needs to be done. But, I mean, you know, we're good to send them more money. Where are we getting that money from?
We're borrowing it, Clay. I understand your point. I'm up against the hard breaks. I got to let you go. But thanks for calling in and sharing that. And it's difficult, right? So we can all sit around and armchair quarterback all we want, but we all better make sure we're praying about this. Those in authority over us need our prayers, because this is way beyond normal wisdom. 866-34-TRUTH. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Is there a line in the sand somewhere where you would think that America needs to step up its involvement in Ukraine? And again, Biden today, on the heels of Zelensky doing this televised address to a joint session of Congress. It was really interesting. If anybody knows, if you saw the video, I don't know what room they were in. That wasn't in the House or the Senate chambers. It's a pretty big room, pretty big screen, and it's set up like a theater, like theater seating. So I don't really know where that is. They said that's in the Capitol. To Congress by video at the Capitol. I've never seen this room before, which is strange to me. And it's a pretty big room. So if you happen to know what that is, send me a message on Facebook or something. Really interesting. I've never seen that room before. So how do you deal with that? How are you dealing with this? Are you just a hard line in the sand? We're not going in there no matter what. Are you struggling with it because of the bloodshed? Like I mentioned earlier, there was the BBC came out with this earlier. The Russians hit a theater in Mariupol where there was about 1,000, at least 1,000 people holed up inside sheltering there, and they hit it. Don't know how many people died there yet. Not all the news services are reporting it. BBC had that out a couple hours ago. And how much bloodshed? Is there a certain number of dead, innocent civilians that all of a sudden you're going to change your mind? What do you think about this? Maybe you have loved ones in the military and you're having to think about this. But what are your thoughts on America getting more involved with the Ukrainian-Russian war? 866-348-7884 is the number. We'd love to hear from you. Just have the conversation. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. Or if you have a personal story, if you know some people in Ukraine that are struggling with this, or maybe people that are over here that are from Russia. I found out from my wife the other day, somebody out there from Russia is totally in support of it. Totally with Putin on this. Oh yeah, you got to go in and deal with these people. What? So that's real. That's out there. Or maybe you have a member of your family, a loved one that's in the military. How are you dealing with this? How are you feeling about this? 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. Kevin Williamson at The Federalist put this out yesterday. Russia alone. We are all Ukrainians now. Okay, just hold off. Just listen up. The woman's pelvis had been crushed and her hip detached. I don't even know what that last part means. I suppose I can imagine a crushed pelvis easily enough. I can't imagine what a detached hip looks like or feels like. The woman in question was famous for a minute. She was a Ukrainian mother who appeared in a famous news photograph. She's dead now. So is the child she was carrying. You guys saw that, right? You saw that picture of the woman they pulled out of the maternity hospital that the Russians bombed? She was photographed being carried out of the Mariupol maternity hospital that was bombed by Russian troops in Ukraine, one of many examples of the savagery in which the Russians have been engaged. It's tempting to write subhuman savagery, but savagery is entirely human. Nobody talks about rattlesnakes or scorpions behaving in a savage fashion. Nobody expects them to be anything other than what they are. But we expect more of HSAP. God only knows why. Unidentified bloodied pregnant woman, one headline called her. She must have had a name. We know the name now. Tatiana Parabenis, 43, and her children, Nikita, 18, and Elise, 9. They were killed running for their lives when they were fired on by Russian artillery. Another famous phono. She was an accountant for a Silicon Valley tech company working out of Irpin. Photos of Tatiana Perbanis and her kids lying in a gutter surrounded by suitcases and pet carriers ran on the front page of the New York Times last week and reverberated around the world, reports the Daily Beast. I suppose they did, writes Kevin Williamson. And then there's another video. Here's another family being wiped out, this time caught on video. We're all Ukrainians now, says the headline over a Wall Street Journal column. The sentiment is a humane one, but it's a lie. We are not all Ukrainians. Most of us are far from, removed from anything like that kind of danger or that kind of suffering. The worst we have felt is higher gasoline prices and more expensive groceries. These matter, of course, and they matter a great deal to the poor, for whom these additional financial burdens are very heavy, but that's not the same. It's not easy to be brave, and it's not easy to suffer. But how much easier it must be to suffer oneself than to watch one's children suffer, to be cold and hungry, to die, blown to pieces in the womb before taking their first breath. How many Ukrainian mothers and fathers would happily, joyfully give their own lives if it meant that their children could have a decent dinner and a safe, warm place to sleep, i.e. if they could have what my dogs have? Millions, I imagine. No, we are not all Ukrainians now, not by a long shot. We are not all Russians either. I do not flatter myself that the Russian people have been waiting for my advice, but I will offer it anyway. You have to act. You must. This is your country, your army, your government, your tax dollars, your flag, your name. Vladimir Putin is not a Superman, and he cannot act alone. What's being done by your government is not going to be forgiven. You and your children and your grandchildren will bear the shame of this. Things are never going to go back to normal for you. I don't know if you have noticed, but to put it in popular terms, the civilized world has got together and we have voted you off the island. The ties between you and the civilized world have been cut in recent weeks and are not going to be restored quickly, and many of them will never be restored at all. You are not part of the civilized world anymore. We are not going to forget what you have been a party to, what so many of you have stood by and accepted. What makes it worse, if that's possible, and certainly more asinine, you've already lost. And that what your government has hoped to achieve will not be achieved. You can murder as many expectant mothers and children as you like, bomb them until you run out of munitions, burn down the hospitals and the libraries, execute all the mayors, and you will still have lost. And when you're gone, the civilized people of this world are going to help rebuild Ukraine, and you will be what? Praying for higher gas prices? I do wonder what it would take to turn Russia around. I suppose it would start with a Russia that wanted to be turned around, or at least a critical mass of Russians who want that. I don't think there is one. Jay Nordlinger is right to say that the Russians who protest Putin's junta are some of the bravest people in the world, but I do not think there are enough of them. So, what do we do? 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Jerry calling in from North Carolina. Jerry, gone, ran out of time. Call back, Jerry, if you have a minute. Anybody else, if you want to chime in on this one. How do we approach this? And it is heartbreaking, right? 866-348-7884 is the number. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. So you can have all kinds of blood running in the streets, but as long as it's not NATO blood, we don't do anything. But, and my buddy Bill on Facebook Live reminded us over there, Russia had a drone over the border in Poland yesterday. What's he doing? Trying to provoke a war for what? Like, what does he really have to gain other than Ukraine? Now, that's a big deal economically. There's a lot of money to be had in Ukraine. Just ask the Bidens. So he's got a lot to gain, but what to lose? Everything. But then again, you and I are thinking like sane human beings. And Vladimir Putin isn't one. And he could be an insane, demonically driven person who's dying of cancer. We don't know. But it's crazy. And if you let him get away with it, does it just escalate? And then you end up with a death toll that's higher because we didn't act sooner? Do you pull a capitulation? You're like Neville Chamberlain. You try to dance with the devil without getting burned? Or do we have to do something more? And like I said, with Biden, you know, this is what they decided. They're sending a bunch more in there now. 2,000 javelins, 1,000 light armor, anti-armor weapons, 6,000 AT-4 anti-armor systems, 100 unmanned drones, 100 grenade launchers, 5,000 rifles, 1,000 pistols. Those are just ridiculous numbers, ridiculously low. More than 20 million rounds of small arms ammunition and grenade launcher and mortar rounds, 25,000 sets of body armor, and 25,000 helmets. They'll be transferred directly from the Department of Defense to the Ukrainian military, Biden said. Directly. So couldn't Putin already said? Couldn't he already say America's at war with me? They're just using Ukrainians to pull the trigger? Sure he could. He could say that easily. No big deal. He could already make the case. But he hasn't. And why not? So does that mean we just sit on the sidelines and do nothing? I'm not taking that position, by the way. I'm just asking the question. What do you think? What should we do? 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. To chime in. Maybe there's a line in the sand for you. Maybe you think we should have done something more already and forced a no-fly zone. I mean, Putin knows he can't beat us. He knows he can't beat NATO. So the bully, what do you do with a bully? We all know the answer to that. You beat him up, right? You don't put up with it. You don't appease him. You don't show him any patience. You got to have somebody that's capable of beating the bully down. Take his power away from him. So it's a tough one. And from a Christian perspective, if this country were a theocracy, if we were a theocracy, would that change your answer? As a Christian, is it okay for you to ignore the plight of your neighbor, even if your neighbor's halfway around the world? James said to know what is right and choose not to do it, to him is it a sin? Is it a sin to not help when we so obviously know that there's a problem and we do have the ability, we have the capability to help, and you choose not to? So do you have two positions? Do you have a political position, then you have a Christian position, and they're different? That's a challenge as well, isn't it? All right, we're going to jump over. I have an somebody that chooses to remain anonymous, but I'm coming up on the break in like 30 seconds. So, Grayson and Winston-Salem, can you ask Anonymous if they can hold through the break? Because I could take the call right now, but I'm going to run out of time in about 20 seconds. So now I want to do that to them. So see if they can hold through the break, and then we'll talk to them. Hold on. Can they hold through the break? And then we'll talk to them. They're anonymous. They want to talk about Ukraine, which is interesting. So hopefully we can get to them. If you want to chime in, what do we do? What do we not do? What's your position? Is there ever a reason to go in there and get involved personally for the American military? 866-348-7884 is the number. 866-348-7884. We'll be right back. Are you there?
I'm here.
All right.
The call got dropped. I'm glad it didn't.
Oh, no. Yeah, we're good. Go right ahead. Thanks for calling.
Yes. Steve?
Yes, sir. I'm here. Go ahead.
Okay. Let me turn the volume down just a second. First of all, I appreciate the work that you do in your show. I've listened to it quite frequently.
Thank you.
Yeah. I've been to Ukraine at least once.
Hold on a second. I don't know what happened there. Yeah, keep going. You're fine. Keep going.
All right. Okay. I've been there once, and it hurts me to see what's happening there to the people and to the place in general. And I've made 5 trips to Russia over the years, and also another 5 trips to Kazakhstan. So I'm familiar with the culture. I'm familiar with the people. And my wife, of course, is Russian. And that's where the problem comes in. When this thing got started with Ukraine, I told her, I said, I don't want to argue in this family. Because generally, in the past, whenever the United States has gotten into a conflict, a war, either directly or indirectly, it always creates a problem. So I told her, I said, look, I said, I'm not going to argue with you about this. I'm interested in your opinion. but I'm not going to let this grow into an argument. She is against the war. It upsets her tremendously. On the other hand, for a lot of the Russian people, it's a matter of morality, amongst other things. They look at the West, they look at the United States, they look at Western Europe, they see all of the society problems and all of the things that are going on, you know, the many things that are non-Christian, and they see this beginning to happen to Ukraine, and this concerns them. Now, of course, this is no reason and no justification for an invasion, you know, or this type of situation. But my point is that there is another side to it. And I'm hoping that they can get this conflict stopped and stopped as soon as possible.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. So would you say then that there's a significant, at least some significant number of Russian people that are, they see Ukraine being then kind of a delivery mechanism for the Western world and Western civilization and kind of that quote unquote decadent Western American lifestyle? Because, you know, since the USSR fell, it's not like they haven't had those issues in Russia over the years. Now they crack down on it a lot more because they can. I mean, Putin's been very tough when it comes to some homosexual issues and stuff like that. But is that kind of what you're saying, is that they don't want more American type lifestyle influence?
That's correct. That's a large part of it. Zelensky is, I saw a video last night that my wife showed to me that was on YouTube. And it begins with Zelensky and a number of other men wearing traditional Ukrainian outfits. Well, they take these outfits off, and then at that point they're wearing black pants, no shirts, and they begin to dance. And you begin to get the impression from this video that it sort of has a homosexual theme to it, and it sort of has a anti-Russian theme to it, and that shocked me, you know, based on what I've been seeing and hearing from Zelensky, you know, over the past few weeks.
Sure.
You know, the type of person that he appears to be, this video shocked me. Of course, now, he was much younger when this video was made.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, you know, a lot of change could have taken place in him between the time that the video was made and the current point in time. But, you know, that's a concern to me. About, you know, what type of person is he really?
Sure.
And it's
sure.
also a concern to many other people as well. And, you know, on top of this, you have the Ukrainian population that is fighting for their freedom.
Right.
And, you know, we may find ourselves in this type of situation sometime in the future where we have to fight for our country against someone who sees the wrong that this country does and wants to destroy us. And, you know, I see the Ukrainians in this situation, and I see ourselves possibly in this situation sometime in the future. You know, the Islamic extremists look at our country and see our country as being evil. And, you know, this is something they want to destroy.
Yeah.
And, you know, we don't all believe in these evil things. I don't. You don't. But, you know, and many other people and many of these listeners don't.
Sure.
But, you know, they're fighting for their freedom in Ukraine, and it hurts. It hurts my wife tremendously.
Yeah.
Even though she and I are on different political platforms regarding the situation, you know, it hurts both of us.
Yeah, because you know, there's the elites, there's those in charge, there's the military, and then there's just regular people that are caught up in the midst of it, which has been a tragic part of U.S. history, American history, world history for a few thousand years. That you just have regular folks like you and me that get caught up in it, and you don't have any power. And the next thing you know, bombs are dropping on your head, and you had no say in it, and you have no way out of it, which is why we have to continue to pray, literally for a miracle, because I think that's what it's going to take to stop what's happening over in Ukraine.
I agree. You know, there are many Christians in Russia and in Ukraine, and in some ways, they have more religious freedom than we do. You know, the churches still teach biblically related lessons. You will have political leaders and mayors will invite priests and clergymen to come and pray when they open a new bridge or a new road.
Interesting.
You know, there's a connection quite often between the clergy and the leadership.
Yeah.
And, you know, in terms of the Russian government and the laws that are passed, the Russian Orthodox Church has a lot of influence biblically on a lot of the laws that are made.
Yeah, and, and right now I think they need to come out much more strongly against the war effort. One last question for you, real quick. What's your wife? Yeah. What's your wife's impression of Putin? What does she think of Putin?
Well, she thinks that Americans hate Putin. She thinks that he's not as evil as people seem to portray him as.
Interesting.
And that's at the point where I don't discuss that with her.
I don't
want to start a fight.
Yeah. Keep some peace in your own home. I think that's probably a good idea.
Yes.
All right. Well, it's a really great insight. I really appreciate you calling, and God bless you, my brother. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much, Steve. Thank you.
You're welcome. God bless you. We'll talk later. Let's jump over real quick to Jim. Jim calling in from North Carolina. Jim, thanks for calling. Go right ahead.
Thank you for having me speak. Steve, you're a very brilliant fella. God bless you. Thank you so much. Let me just say this. I'm not a Republican. I'm not a Democrat. And I'm trying to respond to one of the callers who said, and you agree, that there's a need for divine intervention deal with this equation. Now, I disagree with the prevailing thinking that Biden is weak. I think Biden is cautious and does not want us to get into another war with any nation.
Yeah.
Instead of all the condemning upon Biden, I think, as you have alluded, that we need to be in prayer for him and all our leaders. My solution, all of us who believe in God, turn to God and ask him to deal with Putin. In short, take Putin off the face of the earth because he's evil.
Yeah, I have no problem with that. That we, in the Old Testament, we would call that, Jim, an imprecatory prayer, just praying for God to drop the hammer, and that's fine.
You got it. You got it.
Yep, I'm with you
on
that.
I told you you were brilliant.
Well, that's a stretch, but I appreciate the thought. But great points, Jim. God bless you. I'm right there with you. We need to, I appreciate the president having restraint here. We need to have restraint. And we need to pray for the guy as well as everybody else in authority over us. And we need to pray for miracles over there. I'm totally with you. Thanks so much for calling, my friend.
You bet. Bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah. Smart. I'll take that. Brilliant. I don't know. Anyway, but yeah, that restraint. And here's one of the challenges I think we have is you know, we don't have much of a stomach for anything anymore. Because usually, you know, you just... Things are so, there's so much instant gratification as part of our lifestyle anymore. You pull up to McDonald's or whatever, some fast food place. The only person that's really solved this is Chick-fil-A. But any other place, hey, well, can you pull up for a minute, sir? You know, we'll have it out to you in a couple minutes. And I'm like looking at my watch. I'm like, maybe I should burn this place to the ground. This is ridiculous. Why do you call yourself a fast food place? Blah, 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 blah. We just don't have much patience. And especially when there's blood being spilt and quote unquote innocent blood. But we have to be patient. We have to remember what the scripture calls us to. So whenever we have this consternation and this concern, my question for all of us, myself especially, is how much am I going to the Lord with this stuff? And how much am I willing to pray for my enemy? And I don't have a problem. It's part of my prayers, Lord. Putin's done enough. Take him out. But Putin can also be an instrument of God's providence. And he is right now because the guy's still alive. And I don't know how to manage that. I don't know how to work myself through that. But then again, I know the one who does, and I have to trust him. But it would help if we would call out to him, especially for the innocent people caught up in it, for the protesters in Russia, but especially for these innocent people in Ukraine that have no say about anything. Bombs are just falling on their heads. And we pray for a miracle. We all need to be praying for a miracle and pray for those in authority over us and those in authority over them. This is Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.